Grateful for your presence this morning. We have lots of visitors with us, and if you haven't yet filled out a visitor card, please be sure and do that before you leave, so we'll have record of your attendance with us. I read about a story of a man who had traveled into the deep recesses of the jungles in Africa, and then was on his return back out of the jungle. And the group that was guiding him in, he told them he must hurry. And so the first day, they moved very quickly through the forest as he was heading out of the forest. And he was so excited that they were going to be able to get out quickly. And then they arose the next morning, and all of his tribal leaders that were there to take him were all laying around relaxing. And he kept, like we always do, I've got to be there. I need to be there on this. I need to get out of here quickly. And when he saw their strange behavior, he couldn't figure out what the problem was. So he asked the translator to translate for them. And what they told him was this, is that yesterday we traveled so fast, we have to wait today for our souls to catch up to our bodies. It's kind of like the anti-psalm of Psalm 23 that we'll read in just a moment, the psalm of our times. The clock is my dictator, I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me to deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My inbox overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. But when we read Psalm 23, this is the shepherd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knows us individually. He loves us perfectly. He provides for our needs. And in the picture of this psalm is the picture of a shepherd with his sheep, who, in contrast to goats, who apparently are quite independent, sheep, on the other hand, depend on their shepherd to find pasture and water for themselves. So many times we are compared to sheep, and in the case of this psalm, we are compared to sheep who, without the care of our shepherd, will not provide and will not be able to protect and will not be able to save ourselves. So read with me Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In verse 1, the shepherd is mine. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the picture the psalmist is describing is the fact that I belong to him because a shepherd does not belong to his sheep. The sheep belong to the shepherd. And so when the psalmist describes this picture, the Lord is my shepherd, it's because together the sheep and the shepherd have partnered together for the benefit of all. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And a lot of times when we see this, we need to see that this picture is about us, me and him. It's about who and what I am because I am in his flock. It is a declaration of contentment. I will not be in want. The Lord takes care of me. I shall not want, he says. But this is not a picture of I don't get everything now. In fact, it is a picture of I am not in want. Not that I get everything now. The Lord takes care of all of my needs. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Because the picture the psalmist sees of the one who puts his trust in God is that ultimately and finally God will forever provide to the needs of his people. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, in the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon where he tells us to look to the birds of the air, to look to the flowers of the field. All of the things that they experience in their life continues to go on, and God provides for them all of their needs. And then he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Even in Philippians, Paul says to Christians these comforting words in Philippians chapter 4. He says, be anxious for nothing, verse 6, in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The picture of the shepherd psalm, as we affectionately call it, isn't about security and ease. It is not about abundance and peace. The psalm is not about the street called easy, that barbershop quartet singing about living on easy streets. It's about the well-worn path of faith. The Lord is my shepherd. It's about what he will do for me. Notice the beginning of each of the strokes. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside. He restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness. The very first four words emphasize that truth. It's all about he. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Four beautiful verses, if we would describe it in a song-like pattern. Each of them with powerful verbs to help us see the power of the shepherd over his sheep. He makes, he leads, he restores, he leads. And the result of what those powerful verbs imply about what he does for me is that he takes me to green pastures and still waters. Green pastures and still waters. The powerful picture that creates in us might have an awful lot to do with our own life experience, where we live. When Tracy and I lived in Arizona, we moved there in January, and it was bleak and brown. And let me emphasize the word brown. And they kept telling us that when the rains come, it's going to get green. And so Tracy and I, with great anticipation, because we live near the Prescott National Forest, we thought, well, okay, it's going to green. Well, the 35 drops that fell from the sky that season, when it finally hit the ground, it got a very light lime green. And it was green. Our picture sometimes of what the psalmist describes might be more a reflection of what's deep within us. Because notice the picture in the background that I started with. If you even Google the image, Psalm 23, the powerful images that will come up will look something like that. But sheep in the Mediterranean countries that surround the area that we think of as Israel, that particular area from our study that we had done about 2 years ago of maps and geography of the Old Testament, if you'll notice that there is here green and there is green here. Only along two areas of the Palestinian area, the coastal plain as well as the Jordan River Valley, was there anything green. The psalm is a psalm of David, written as a king in Jerusalem, right there in the middle of the mountains. But of course, he may have actually written it while he was wandering down here in the south country of the Negev. Because the truth of the matter is that most farmers would not let people who have sheep on their farmland. Because if you have farmland, you're growing crops for the purposes of feeding people. So sheep wandering on your farmland that might be green and beautiful is not the kind of land that you're going, not kind of animal you're going to let on. And so where shepherds would usually take themselves would not be this green coastal land or the Jordan Valley. It would be these dark, brown, occasionally lime green moments of rain where the sheep would be able to feed. And even in modern pictures from BiblePlaces.com, you can see the sheep wandering in a mountain valley. You see them here along the mountains where there is grass. But notice it doesn't look like that image I showed you at the beginning. But more realistically, it even starts to look more like that. And so when David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet, still waters and makes me lie down in green pastures." It's not exactly the picture you may have in your mind. And in fact, more realistically, from a perhaps something that you saw as well on the internet just this week, a man named Ray Vanderlaan, who has a faith lessons video created by or with Focus on the Family. He has his own little podcast. And he did a little podcast this last week on this particular subject about the green pastures, because he's an archaeologist. And he said, as part of the shepherd lesson, I did want to look at one thing in the wilderness that may surprise you a bit. This is called the wilderness, or green pastures. That when a shepherd would talk about the green pastures, for him, that was the green pastures. And in fact, you'll notice in the sand, what it looks like to us, but it's actually dirt, is the line where all the sheep would travel. And the shepherd would drive them to find their green pasture. And they would walk along the country hills where the rocky ground is. And they would be led by the shepherd to the green pastures. Something like that is not the waist-deep alfalfa picture of the green pastures you think God needs to provide you. Right on the hillside, you can see these grazing sheep. And a lot of people might look at them, like he said, and it looks so bare, they must be rock-eating sheep. So how can these be called green pastures? Well, remember that there is, in this area, very close to it, the Mediterranean Sea. A great deal of humidity would come and fill the air with moisture. And there are rains and rainy seasons, a little bit of it, that allows there to be some growth. That moisture condenses, drips along the edge of the rocks, and next to the rocks you get little tufts of green, he explained. Something like that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So as the shepherd looks along the hillside and moves his flock to where his flock can be fed, nourished by the green pastures and the quiet still waters, he provides for his sheep another mouthful. A mouthful here, and then another mouthful there. Too many times we look at this psalm, and I myself, likewise, equally guilty, that we look at this picture as if God has dropped us down into the middle of our most affluent dream, and that's what God is going to provide for us. That the Lord sets me down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet still waters, as if that the only way the picture of the psalmist truth has any value is if my life is not a valley of turmoil, but a mountainside of abundance. If we make the green pastures the belly deep alfalfa, we think that God is supposed to plunk us down in the middle of whatever abundance we want in our lives. And that's not what David was saying. The truth is, people have made merchandise of the gospel by painting this abundant life as if Jesus has come for the very purpose of doing exactly that, giving to us every Mercedes that we want, every 3,500 car garage we want. But what the psalmist describes is nothing like that. Green pastures and still waters are not everything you need for the rest of your life. It is green pastures and still waters, everything you need now. Think about it even truthfully as a Christian. Has your life with God been an ever-flowing river in abundance and ease? Look at Jesus' life. Was his life an ever-flowing river of abundance and ease? Look at the apostles' life. Was their life an ever-flowing river of abundance and ease? Or was it the life of the shepherd's psalm? The psalm is about trust. That's why I don't like to read Psalm 23 at a graveside. Although it is the most commonly read scripture at a graveside to somehow console people about our dearly departed. But the psalm is not about dying. It's about living. And notice the song of this shepherd who says that the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't pray for ease. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul tells the church at Ephesus to pray for him, He says, beginning in verse 18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Notice the Apostle Paul did not ask the church at Ephesus to make his life easy as an apostle. Notice he didn't say, "Pray that I get out of prison and these chains disappear." He says, "Just pray that I can speak boldly as I ought to speak about what the gospel really is in the opening of my mouth." So when you go back to Psalm 23, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The shepherd is extolling what the Lord is going to provide for him every day. That every day I'll have green pastures and still waters because of faith. Every day my soul will feel restored. And every day, the Lord will show me the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice the shepherd did not pray for abundance. In Philippians chapter 4, even as the Apostle Paul prayed, chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Notice he goes on to say in verse 12, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, because my shepherd will take care of me." My shepherd will take me to each tuft of green along the green pastures of my life, and my needs will be met. So the shepherd didn't pray for ease, the shepherd didn't pray for abundance, and the shepherd didn't pray for nothing to do. So many times we have that perception that what this psalm is really describing is that my life is going to be on the easy street. So many people become Christians because they want their life to become easy. So many people become preachers because they want their life to be easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Notice that the word that he uses, that four-letter word that we never ever think of the life of being a Christian really is toil. The shepherd didn't pray for nothing to do. And Paul told us as Christians that we should recognize that in our toil, that is not in vain, that we must abound in the work of the Lord. Another thing from that neat podcast that I saw is a quote that he gave of Jewish teaching from the psalmist. And one of the things he said is that Jewish teachers would say, based upon the psalm, that worry is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. In the desert, the sheep learn that the shepherd will get them to their next tuft of grass. They don't see the tuft of grass. They just know their shepherd will get them there. And so the question for us is this, is that like the good shepherd that we say Jesus is, and that we want to have the faith of the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," will we believe that 10 minutes from now, God is going to, as our good shepherd, take us to the next tuft of grass? not to the luxurious green lawn, where we're sitting nicely in our lawn chairs, sipping our lemonade, and everyone is buzzing around us. Will we be the one who trusts the Good Shepherd? Jesus says in John chapter 10, where he makes that declaration about who he is, listen to how he words it in John chapter 10. Verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Then notice he says in verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Borrowing the true picture of what every Israelite would have believed about the shepherd, Jesus says that's who he is. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the shepherd who will care for my sheep and take them to every tuft of green grass that in their life they need to make it through if they will trust me and realize that I will make them lie down in green pastures. I will lead them beside still waters. I will restore their soul, and I will lead them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will be the good shepherd. The real question is, will we be the good sheep? Or will we want God to be the giver of every good, perfect gift that we think we need to get? Or will we be like the psalmist who believes that everything good which comes from God will follow him all the days of his life? I could tell you that you could look at David's life. And if we made a movie, a lot of people made movies about David's life, you'd all think, I don't want to be him. He lost children. He had children try to take the throne from him, and he spent years of his life running away from the person who was trying to kill him. But David would say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because life was not about my want. My life was about my shepherd. If you would take out your songbook and recognize that when the beautiful green lawn disappears, the only thing you have left is your shepherd. And today, when you recognize that all the things that we put up in our lives to make us feel good, to make us feel needed, make us feel important, when we realize that we are like all other human beings, sinners before God, the message of the gospel rings true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So today, if you know that your life is black and you need the shepherd, he said he laid down his life for you. He gave his life so that God could be true and righteous and holy and forgive you and me of our sins. And what Jesus asked you to do is believe in him, repent of your sin, and be immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's not a church ordinance. Folks, that's the call of the shepherd. And he calls you today, as together we stand and as we sing.